Well, good evening again. The readings for Thanksgiving Eve are very different from each other. Deuteronomy is essentially a giant speech given by Moses as the Israelites are going to enter the promised land. He recounts everything that God did, which you can kind of see in the reading, saying, hey, remember the manna thing? And a few others. With kind of the subtext, remember and be grateful. And you almost want to add, be grateful, you little twerps, because it doesn't take long for the Israelites, after they get into the promised land, to forget. And really that period of time following, many scholars would call the Deuteronomistic history, because it follows that pattern of the promise and then the warnings that Moses gives. If you remember and you worship God, remember what he has done for you and that you are his people, things will go well. And if you forget and go following after other gods or doing other kinds of crazy things, things will not go well. And really their history is just a cycle of that for a while. Paul, as he's writing to Philippians, is giving thanks. He's expressing gratitude. He was in prison by this point. I think it's very likely that this is one of the last letters that he wrote before his execution. And I think he can feel that. I think he's aware. And he received a bunch of aid, basically food. He learned he wasn't going to starve from the church in Philippi. And so it's not like Paul's usual letters where he's really upset about something. In fact, in Philippi, he's actually in a really good mood because maybe he's not hungry or something like that. But he's grateful. He expresses gratitude, thanks, of course, to the church in Philippi. And in doing so, reveals a little bit more about the nature of his relationship with them. Because their relationship has changed. It had been that Paul was in some way instrumental in their way of life, as they sought to follow Jesus. And now Paul's in need. So maybe you can feel that shift a little bit. And then in the gospel reading, there's actually a few layers to this, and I'm going to not go through all of them. But this is not just about one guy who decided that he was grateful and the other nine are, I guess, narcissistic enough that they don't care or something, I don't know. And so he actually just goes back to Jesus. There's more going on there. We're on right on the border between Galilee, which is predominantly Jewish, and Samaria, which is, the name implies, is predominantly Samaritan. And so when Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priests, everybody in that moment would have known that there's a dilemma. Which priests? Because if you're Samaritan, you go to the temple on Mount Gerizim. And if you're Jewish, you go to the temple on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And those are very different things. And their disagreement and their difference was so fundamental to who they are that they became violent towards each other. And for what it's worth, in the violence and hatred between Jewish people and Samaritans, there are no heroes. Everybody was terrible. Except for this one guy who realized his leprosy is gone, We're not told which temple he's going to, but we do know he's Samaritan, so it's probably not the one in Jerusalem. And then when he realizes that he's been healed, he goes to Jesus. I think that's a bold claim, actually, about where God's presence is supposed to be. It's Jesus. And he falls down on his face. You don't really get a more humble posture. And Jesus is going, "Only one of you? Really?" Which sounds kind of harsh, but yeah, I get it. But then he says, "Go, your faith has made you well." So there's a restoration there on multiple levels. And kind of similar to Paul and his friends in Philippi, the nature of the relationship changes a little bit. So I've been thinking about the idea of just saying thank you. Expressing gratitude. Stop me if this is, well, TMI. Or don't. I mean, if you tried to stop me, it'd just be weird, I guess. But I know personally expressing gratitude is an area that I, just as a human being, need to grow in. It's just not something I'm great at. I feel it. But then expressing it, sometimes I just... personality flaw. We all have them, I guess. But I think when one person says thank you to another for something important, I don't mean, "Hey, can you pass the chips? Thanks." Although deep gratitude would be felt. man. But I mean something big. I don't know, if you were in deep need and somebody in their generosity helped you out, that would actually be all three readings, as it turns out. Or somebody was just generous and did something for you that there's no, that you could not do for yourself for one reason or another. It changes the nature of the relationship. At least it can. Now put yourself in the position of the giver. You do something for somebody that is significant. And they say thank you. How do you respond? I mean, the standard answer is you're welcome. Maybe a more common answer, kind of depending on your own personality and kind of where you're from and a few other things, you might say, "Ah, don't worry about it. That's nothing." But it's not nothing. So why do we say that? In the same way that there's a similar pattern, I think, or a similar dynamic. If somebody has harmed you, and I don't mean they took the chips away, I mean something serious. I'm hungry, if you can't tell. if somebody really hurt you, and they say, "I am sorry," and they mean it, how do you respond? I think it's easier to see the dynamic here because maybe it's a little more intense. But usually, if not most of the time, we will try to minimize that. We will say something like, "You know, don't worry about it. It's water under the bridge. We've buried the hatchet," or a whole bunch of other phrases we have in English that make no sense to foreigners. It is what it is. But have you ever been in the situation where instead of sticking to the usual minimizing script, that person said, "I forgive you"? It feels aggressive. It feels very intense. Like part of me, if somebody says, "I forgive you," it's like, whoa, hey, come on, man. We're supposed to minimize this. This is already tense to begin with. But my question is, why? Why do we minimize that? Whether we're saying thank you, or somebody is saying thank you, or somebody is saying I'm sorry, instead of like why does it sound so intense if they then say you are welcome, I forgive you? I think it's because it changes the relationship a little bit. If you've done something significant for me, and I say thank you, I express my gratitude, I got over my own problems, and somebody says you are welcome, it's not in a negative sense almost all of the time, but there's a power difference. We now both have to recognize that if we were keeping track of debts, I would be the one in debt. In the same way of harming somebody and a legitimate apology, if I say I'm sorry and you look me in the eye and say I forgive you, it's the same dynamic. We now have to come to terms with the fact that our relationship is different. And if we were keeping track, and that's not a healthy way to do relationships, but if we were, I would be in your debt. And however fiscally responsible you may think you are, this is not the kind of debt that you want. And so we find ourselves with a day oriented around giving thanks. As James read at the very beginning, as a national holiday, it has very deep Christian roots. And I would say those Christian roots go all the way back to the original, to the original pilgrims after they managed to survive. Well, half of them anyway, survived that first year and made it to that first harvest. And then with the local indigenous tribe, they were able to celebrate. Everything the pilgrims did was religious. There's a really common thread throughout the Bible. You see it a lot in the Psalms. You see it in, of course, Deuteronomy and Philippians and Luke 17, and kind of all over, this common refrain of give thanks to God, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. I don't even know where that is in the Bible, but I've heard it so much that it's just in here and it's not going away. What does it mean to give thanks to God? Well, if we're giving thanks to God for the things that we have, or if this was 150 years ago, for the harvests and for the ways that God has provided, where we have been able to grow our crops and not starve and all of that. I think back then there was a greater sense of dependence on God. And I think we miss something today because that sense of dependence is not gone. I could say, you know what, at this table, I provided for everything except for the things that my friends brought, so thank you to me. I mean, that's a good way to never host Thanksgiving again. Like, that got really weird. But if I think about my house, my family, the things that I have, the food on the table, I think in reality we're more dependent on those around us, on the community in which we live, our country, and God as creator, than we are often willing to admit. And there's a very special discipline present in giving thanks. Because to do so, we recognize our own dependence. We like to think that we are independent or maybe interdependent, and that's getting closer to the truth. But the reality is that we depend on God, our communities, our families, our friends, so much, for so much, that it's actually uncomfortable. In a few moments, we'll receive the bread and the wine, which is the body and the blood of Jesus. And it wouldn't be a Lutheran sermon if I didn't find some way to make our way to the cross. In fact, they'd fire me. But it's a joke. It's a joke. And it gets almost trite because we talk about Jesus giving himself for us so much and so often that it's like when you hear a word over and over and over again, your brain actually like disconnects from what it means. It's called semantic satiation if you're ever on Jeopardy. And there's a danger there. Because if there was ever a time when somebody did something for us that we truly could not do for ourselves, it's then. It was Jesus' life and only Jesus' life and death that could repair my relationship with God. It was Jesus' defeat of death when he was raised from the dead, and only his defeat of death. In fact, he's the only one that has defeated death that could spark the new creation within all of us as the Spirit is given. May your Thanksgiving be a little uncomfortable. Just a little. And I encourage you to meditate and ponder on just how much you depend on everything else around you. Ultimately, finding that line of dependence back to our Creator, God. And give thanks, both for what He has given us, what He has done for us, and as he has sent his Son for us. Amen.